Welcome to the NEDCO 504 Show. In the studio today, we have Jason Culver, Head of Credit, and Will Saylor's Credit Analyst, here today to talk about the updates to the CARES Act, or CARES Act 2.0, the Biden-Harris proposals, changes, and adaptations to the Stimulus Act, a number of different pieces of information from our trade association, NADCO, have been forwarded, as well as the SBA. Both Jason and Will have carefully examined the information in both of those two sets of documents, and today we will go through what they think could be adopted by the SBA, possibilities. And with that, we'll go to Jason and Will to get into the specifics of the CARES Extension Act. Jason and Will.
Yeah, I guess the CARES Act giveth and the CARES Act taketh away.
Yes, they do.
So we thought we knew what was going to happen with the Section 1112 payments. And then we got an update that says, well, what they've approved, they didn't budget enough for. So they're still going to do the payments, but they've reduced how many each category is going to get.
A reduced payment plan. The $3.5 billion wasn't enough for all of the 7A loans, 504 loans, and other various SBA loans in the country. So we had to, fortunately, not we, the SBA, unfortunately, had to scale these back.
Yeah, I think the idea was they would scale back payments to each category rather than letting certain loans just get completely hung out to dry, especially if your loan isn't going to fund for a little while. So they've pared everybody down, thinking it's going to be more fair. Everybody at least gets a little, rather than some people getting all their payments and other people getting none.
So we have a flow chart here. If you want a copy of the flow chart, feel free to email us. Our Jason and I's emails are at the website, nedcoloans.org, and we can send over this flow chart to you. But starting out, and I mean, this is a complicated flow chart. We have 8 subnotes here. But let's just start out with an existing 504 loan that has been in the portfolio, or you've had your 504 loan for a couple years now.
Yeah. You're funded, you're closed.
You're funded, you're closed. So you previously got payments last year made through the SBA. Those should be done in your books already. Should have got those starting, obviously, last year with the first CARES Act. So, Jason, if you have an existing loan right now, how many payments are you going to get?
Well, you're going to get 2 payments. We were thinking 3, February, March, and April. February, March, and April. Turns out it's just going to be February and March. So those loans, they already got 6 payments in 2020, but their 2021 payments got chopped down from 3 to 2. So not a big difference there.
So borrowers should have had their March or their February payment made here, and they will have their March payment made.
Yep.
And that's the base case.
Yeah, that's going to cover the majority of 504 borrowers out there are probably going to be in that category.
Now, if you are within a specific NAICS code, and there's a list here, I'm not going to name them out, I don't want to put everybody to sleep, but if you have a specific NAICS code, you got your 2 free payments. Somebody with a designated NAICS code, what are the additional payments that they will get in an affected industry, like a restaurant, for example, or hotel?
Yeah, that's a good example, because, yeah, we can't go through every NAICS code that's been targeted here, but it's the obvious ones, and you know if you're going to fit within that category. So originally, we were told people in that category were going to get an additional 5 months of payments. Turns out, not enough money to go around, so they will get an additional 3 months of payments.
Additional 3 months of payments, so those got cut down as well, but still, some prepayments are better than none.
Yeah, so they'll get the two plus this three. So in reality, they're getting five payments in 2021.
Okay. Now, we have a loan. We're at the end of February here. Loans that are approved from February 2021 and approved, not funded, but approved from February 1st until the end of this September. What payments are they looking at?
They are designated originally. They were going to get six. That has been cut down to three. And it's with a really big asterisk. And that really big asterisk says, depends on the availability of funds. Because they get these payments based on when they're approved. So approved between February and September of 2021, you're supposed to get it. But, you know, on a straight purchase, you're going to close a lot faster, and the odds of there still being money in the pool are greater. If you've got a construction project, I mean, we don't have a crystal ball here. If you don't get that closed for 2 years, the pool of funds might be completely dried up by then. So you're supposed to get 3 months, but, you know, we can't guarantee that.
Yeah, so if you – the authorization – standard authorization for a 504 loan, if you got it approved today in February here, that's good for 4 years. You would theoretically be able to get your free payments if you closed it in 3 years and 10 months, for example. But the odds of any money being left over after the SBA has had to scale these payments back already is not looking good. The quicker you can close your loan and get that project fully funded is when borrowers are going to get those free payments most likely, because there is a big asterisk with it. This is all pending that there's still funds left. I think it was $3.5 billion was short, and which is why we had to scale them back.
So Will and Jason, for the viewer, for the listeners, excuse me, to be clear – when your authorization is issued by the SBA and you have the 4 year period in which you can fund, that authorization is good for 4 years no matter what. That money has been appropriated and reserved for you in the yearly congressional appropriation for SBA 504 guarantees, which is typically about $8 billion a year. So you're good for that 4 year period no matter what. I think what Will is saying here, and you guys correct me if I'm wrong, is that during this four-year period, even though you have a guaranteed authorization and you're going to get the full amount of your project size, let's just say your debenture size is $1 million, but there's no such guarantee that you're going to receive the stimulus payments under the CARES Act. That's two totally different concepts. Is that correct, guys?
Yes,
definitely. Yep.
Yeah, so we'll be able to fund your loan in 4 years if it takes that long for construction. But the free payments, I don't know if I would be expecting those 4 years later, because it sounds like those funds are running out quicker than we anticipated.
Yeah, there are, and I'm going to speculate here, which is dangerous, but there is, of course, an outside chance that Congress says, you know, hey, we wanted funds to go to this. We didn't appropriate enough. You know, there's a $1.9 trillion stimulus bill floating around out there that could come through. Is it possible that they replenish this to get us back to where we originally thought we were? Yeah, that could definitely happen. But as it stands now, that isn't approved. There's not enough funds. And so these CARES Act payments are going to be cut short.
So that's what we're looking at for free payments. And again, this flow chart is pretty complicated. It's based on the timing of when your loan was approved, because there is a dead period in there between September 28th to January 31st, I believe. If your loan was approved within that window, you don't get any payments.
Yeah, that's correct. There's a gap, there's a hole in this, and, you know, it doesn't feel great if you fall within that gap, that's for sure.
That's something.
And the way I've heard it described is, you know, for people between September 28th of 2020 and January 31st of 2021, those people who took out loans then, they did it knowing full well that a pandemic was going on and that, you know, things weren't great. The CARES Act payments are kind of meant to be a benefit to people who kind of got caught up in something that they didn't plan for. So if you knowingly took out a loan during this gap period, apparently Congress doesn't feel too sorry for you, so you were intentionally left out of these CARES Act payments.
Wow.
And there's nothing you can do about it. A common question I get asked is, can you cancel my authorization, send it back through? And SBA is right on top of that with a hard no.
Hard no.
So
that's what we know about the free payments out here. And again, feel free to send Jason or I an email. We could send you over this flow chart and tell you what you can look at it, or we could tell you what you might be looking at for payments. But another thing that we got here is the Small Business Administration, the SBA priorities for the Biden-Harris administration. And this appears to be a wish list of what the SBA would like to see done through the Biden-Harris administration to all programs, really, but there's a lot of 504 information in here. Mm-hmm. And we probably won't hit on it all, but there are some big items in here that, if carried through, would really be a big change to the program.
Yeah, definitely. You know, some of these things we've heard about, and some of these things actually did go through in the second round of the CARES Act. So maybe haven't been implemented yet because we're still waiting on some rules as far as the changes to the refinance program. You know, we suspect sometime soon we're going to be able to use a 504 loan to refinance existing government debt, you know, such as a 7A or a 504.
Now, Jason, let me ask you, this is Scott, let me ask you a question about refinancing existing government debt. We've taken a number of calls and emails here at the office. So could you give, you and Will give a couple of examples of refinancing? Let's just say, for instance, a 7A loan. You've got a 7A loan, it's existing government debt on a building, and you've got a 504 loan that's much lower interest rate and better terms. How would that work?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, normally if you had that 7A loan, we wouldn't be able to touch it. We'd have to tell you, sorry, there's nothing we could do for you. Now we could treat it more like a conventional loan, which we've been able to refinance for several years now. But with a 7A on that real estate, chances are they don't have a fixed interest rate. It's probably a few years old at least, and the interest rate's going to be a bit higher than what a current 504 rate would be. So we just have to look at it. You know, does it meet our requirements? If it's an existing building, then chances are the business is existing as well. So that's going to qualify for a 90% LTV. We just need to make sure that 90% LTV is met. Cash flow, is it sufficient? You know, our traditional underwriting requirements, and we can use a 504 loan to pay off that existing 7A note.
Wow. So you could have a piece of real estate and with a 7A on it, been paying for 10 years on the 7A, and then you could come in and do a 25-year note on a 504.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, and we're still waiting for the implementation on the exact rules that has been passed in the bill, but we're still waiting for the SBA to add this to the rule book to see exactly what all can be included with prepayment fees and how exactly to split things up. So people have been asking about it. We still don't have it. The rules, but they're coming, so that will be a big piece. So that has been passed.
Yeah. So existing government debt would be, and then it will move on, would be 7A, could be SBA 7A. It could be Department of Agriculture, B&I, Business and Industry. It could be an intermediate relending program loan.
A 504.
It could be a 504 loan. It could be an EDA, Department of Commerce loan. It could be a municipal loan. As long as it's government debt, it looks like when the rules and regs come out that that'll be eligible, including the big one would be 504 loans.
Mm-hmm.
But you could refi your loan. If you're at 6 or 7% or 5%, you can come in and capture a current rate, of which is less than 3.
Yeah. And
wow.
And just to clarify, that has been passed and that will be enacted here hopefully shortly. We're just waiting for the rules on that.
Oh, my.
With the Biden-Harris administration priorities, these are all speculative. These are all things. So right now, these aren't in any rule books. We're not waiting for these. These are just what apparently this administration wants to see done and what the SBA wants to see done to work with the administration. And a lot of things pop out in here. And again, these are all speculative right now, but these are potential changes to the 504 program that we could be looking at coming up in the future here. One of the big ones would be increasing the maximum 504 loan amount. Currently, if you are a small manufacturer, you can qualify for a $5.5 million loan. If you're not a small manufacturer, you're capped at five. In this wish list here, they're looking at increasing the small manufacturing loan to $6.5
million. Wow.
So that's a pretty big one.
And a clarification on that, that's $6.5 million. That's just on your 504 note. That's not your project as a whole. So we're talking about a much larger project that you can participate in with a 504 and bump up the 504 portion up to $6.5 million.
Sticking on the small manufacturers, so increasing that loan amount to $6.5 million, that's a big one that sticks out to me. Reducing the borrower equity contribution. Right now, the minimum contribution to the 504 program is 10% from small manufacturers. They would like to see that move down to a 5% equity injection.
Yeah. Now that one is interesting. You know, our common description of a 504 loan is a 50-40-10, 50% bank, 40% SBA, and 10% down. So if we drop the equity from 10 to 5%, that 5%'s got to come from one of the other two places, the bank or the SBA. Now, as of right now, the rules say the SBA portion cannot exceed 40%. So I would speculate that chances are it means it would be the bank covering that extra 5%. So it would be something like a 55-45 split.
Yep. Or, I mean, the only other option would be to have a 50-45-5.
Five.
And the SBA portion would be able to go up, which is would be a total rewrite of the rules.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
In this particular case.
Major changes coming.
So that would be for small manufacturers. There are some other specific industries which they would lower that minimum equity injection to, and that would be to underserved communities such as women ownership, minority ownership, veteran ownership, and other underserved communities like that. They are looking to lower the equity injection to 5% for those categories as well.
And on renewable energy resources as well, another category.
I missed that one. Yeah.
Which, you know, we haven't seen a lot of in Nebraska, but I think as technology does what technology does, which is get better, faster, and cheaper, specifically cheaper, you know, the time will come. We're going to see more businesses, you know, employ this.
Yes.
And I got to think if blackouts over winter become a thing, then that'd make me consider some solar panels.
You would give some serious thought to solar panels. Yes. Will and Jason, maybe at this point in time, it might be just a good idea to tell our listenership that what we're talking about here is a collaborative effort of the President Joe Biden and Vice President Harris and their team and their staff working with the SBA and NADCO for changes and modifications to 504. And we thank NADCO and all the efforts of everybody involved. Is that how you see it?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, they're looking to enhance the program, to make it function better. It's a great tool. Right now, 7A loans are down. 504 loans are way up nationally, and we've seen it here in Nebraska. And I think everybody in Congress, both sides of the aisle, they recognize what an important tool this is for getting affordable capital out mm-hmm. into the markets. Mm-hmm.
And from your document, the Biden-Harris document that you have there, it looks like 504 has been given a priority. It's up on the radar mm-hmm. with the administration. Business ownership, land ownership for the businesses. So our many thanks to them from the state of Nebraska and from our current borrowers and potential borrowers.
Yeah, there are a lot of really improvements to the program that are listed here on the wish list. And when these would be enacted, I'm not sure, but it appears to be a big priority because most of this document here does relate to 504s.
Yeah, you know, just picking out some other bullet points here from the wish list. One I would definitely be interested in seeing get passed. Talking about a loan scoring model to approve loans up to $350,000. Right now, the process, we can go as low as $50,000 for our portion, so for the NEDCO portion, $50,000, up to $5 million. That's a wide range, and I can tell you the applications are processed exactly the same. So that $50,000 loan and that $5 million loan, same exact process. So what they're talking about here is if your 504 loan is $350,000 or less, using a simple formula, a scoring model, to help speed up the application approval of that note, mm-hmm. which would be huge.
Mm-hmm. And then I had one other question for you guys that has recently came in to the office again. And could you explain for the listeners just one more time? We've had a call from South Dakota, one from Kansas, possibly one from Arkansas, to do deals in Nebraska and for Nebraska companies for us to do 504s in other states. Could you guys share with the listeners the simple rule about where NEDCO can do business and where we can't?
Yeah, so there is, it was a pilot program, but I believe it's now just fully installed. It's called the Rural Lending Initiative, the 504 Rural Pilot Program. And if you're within our district or region 7, which is Nebraska, Kansas, Iowa, Missouri.
The mink,
if you rewrite that a certain way, the mink, Nebraska, Kansas, Iowa, Missouri, that project is rural. We can do it. So we can lend outside of Nebraska within those states if the project is considered rural. And we need to look that up on a specific map to make sure. So obviously, if it's in a big city like Kansas City, we can't do it. But if it was in a rural area in Kansas, NEDCO could lend there.
Yeah. And one of the questions I get asked from time to time is, what if I've got a Nebraska-based company, but they happen to do, say, business across the border in maybe Council Bluffs, Iowa? But they're based in Omaha. And the problem is it goes by where the project is located. So even though you might be a Nebraska-based company, if your project is across the border in Iowa, you're going to most likely have to work with an Iowa CDC. Now, there are some other exceptions to this rule. One is if we have worked with that borrower before. So if they're an existing borrower of ours, we can follow them around to other states, regardless of whether it's in a rural area, regardless of whether it's in an adjacent state.
And if, citing an example, would you share with them the example of New Jersey and Melitti sales?
Yeah. Little old us here in Nebraska happened to have a project in New Jersey, and that came by way of Melitti sales. Interesting business, based in Omaha. We did a warehouse for them in Omaha. They are a major importer from China, and they sell products to Walgreens, CVS, major grocery store chains. Just an exciting business that you wouldn't expect in little old Omaha. Not a lot of import going on there. But they also needed a warehouse in New Jersey. And because we had already done a project with them here locally, we were able to follow them around to other states.
Wow.
No exception required.
Well, that's important. I think the listeners will find that very interesting, Jason and Will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we probably see it more often on restaurants. We'll have a restaurant owner that will have restaurants in other states. Mm-hmm.
And then would you guys share with them the rule? And it comes up here a lot. In fact, I think just recently Will had a situation where there's a business in Nebraska. They want to do a 504. They currently are just maybe a startup or so. And they wanted the project is actually in Kansas or Missouri or Iowa or some other state. It doesn't matter what. For us to do the loan, how does that work?
If the loan was in another state?
Let's just say it was in Kansas.
It would have to be rural, or we would have to already have a loan with that borrower in Nebraska.
So if not, if it wasn't rural or already had a relationship with them, then we would have to go to each and every CDC in Kansas and get a release, and that's not happening.
Yeah.
There's the easy way and the hard way. That might be the impossible way. Yeah.
Good to know.
Yeah. And we've had bankers.
Very common question here.
Yeah.
Very common.
You know, they're familiar with us. Typically, the bank is local, and they want to work with us, and we appreciate that, and we'll do whatever we can to help. But if it doesn't meet one of those prior exceptions that we've talked about, and we have to go down the route of getting every CDC in the state to provide us a letter saying we can, I can just tell you it's not going to happen.
There might be 5 or 6 CDCs in Kansas. So if we can either qualify the project as rural, or if we've done a loan with them before in Nebraska, we don't have to get those releases. So it makes it real easy. But if we didn't, if it wasn't rural, or we didn't have a loan with them, collecting all those releases isn't feasible, mm-hmm. because one of those CDCs would want to do the loan.
Mm-hmm. And that's another, for the listeners, that's another reason why you want to come to NEDCO. There are so many rules and regulations, some pretty plain, some aren't so plain, some obscure. And our professional staff knows the ins and the outs of each and every one of those rules and regulations. They can answer that rule or regulation or that exception or non-exception over the phone without going through days, weeks, or months with another CDC outstate trying to come to the same conclusion. So we would encourage everybody, if you have any kind of question at all, to call Jason or call Will or email either the two of them, and they will step you through. They're experts in the field, nationally recognized. Jason.
Thank you. Yeah, that's how I usually describe the rules of the 504, and they're constantly changing, so don't feel like you need to be an expert. That's what we're here for.
So I think we've hit on all of the main points in the Biden-Harris administration wish list. There are other things in there, but again, it's just a wish list, and we've hit on the main topics in there that would really be changes to 504s. There are some other smaller things in here, but less significant to the application side and more to kind of the closing and servicing.
Mm-hmm. Will and Jason, could you tell our listeners, too, while we've got their ear here, what are you seeing for loan volume? It's record loan volume here, but the details. Number of loans, we call them in the pipeline, so those would be loans that have an authorization against them or issued in favor of them, rather. Let's talk about the pipeline, record, historical, at NADCO.
We're seeing a good mix of loans here from kind of importers. We're seeing a little bit of manufacturing as well. Car dealerships, used car dealerships are doing really well because there's a shortage of new car inventory throughout the country. That might be catching back up, but the used car sales are doing really well.
That's good to know.
Yeah. You know, I am not seeing any concentration whatsoever, which is odd. You know, we went through phases of chiropractors, phases of pet-related businesses.
Hotels.
Hotels, definitely. And right now, I'm just seeing across-the-board applications, not concentrated in any area, any industry.
And for our listeners... benefit. Our board of directorship took a position about a year ago at the advent of the COVID to not consider any more hotel lodging applications. Status of that?
Well, initially when that did come out, when once COVID broke out in early 2020, we were getting a lot of calls with hotels, but we haven't really seen haven't gotten a lot of hotel calls lately at all. Not particularly. I think a lot of banks have really backed off on those and they're just holding kind of the status quo. I think the board might be reviewing that policy sometime later this year as we kind of, as they kind of monitor the COVID-19 situation with the vaccine rollout and whatnot. But that,
And Jason, could you answer for the listeners, describe to them, when we talk about concentration, we're talking about portfolio concentration of particular sectors of business. You talk to them about NAICS codes, just briefly so that they know we may not be able to do the loan. It could be the best loan in the United States, and we may not be able to do it because of concentration within our portfolio and managing the risks of our portfolio.
Yeah. You know, part of being a CDC is SBA oversight. And one of the things they look at on a CDC is what is your concentration in certain industries? And hotels, due to the size of those buildings and the expensive nature of those buildings, they're naturally a weighted part of the portfolio. So when we report annually on our concentration levels, we may not have a large number of hotel loans, but the dollars are there. And so that's going to skew the numbers much higher than our other industries here in Nebraska.
Because for the portfolio, we're counting, we're measuring dollars. We're not measuring units.
Yep, exactly.
So that's the key distinction there. And then let's talk, we get calls here quite frequently about interest rates. Will, where do you see interest rates going?
They're going up. The 504 interest rate is based off the 10-year treasury, and that's been going up. The last I checked this morning, it was about 1.36 or so. So those NEDCO, the NEDCO rates with the fees built in there, are currently in the mid to upper twos, 2.7, 2.8, but those are quickly going to go over 3% here shortly, just based on how that 10-year treasury has gone up just even within the past month. So we should have an updated rate on our NEDCOloans.org website coming out early next month, and that'll have the updated rates on there. But as of right now, we're about 2.7, 2.8. For the 2025 year.
And Jason, for our listeners, another question that came in and comes in frequently is, and you're working on one currently, an application in a nice rural community here in Nebraska, a big equipment loan. We offer equipment loans at 10 years, and those are every other month. We have a 20-year debenture, and we have a 25-year debenture. And could you tell for the borrowers about the 10-year debenture is really an underutilized tool here in Nebraska, I believe.
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, is that because we don't have as much manufacturing in Nebraska? I suppose that could be a contributing factor. But I don't think a lot of banks realize that it's an option out there. They definitely think of us when real estate is involved or when there's real estate and equipment involved. But when you've got just straight equipment, we do have a 10-year option that is, you know, perfect for equipment.
Perfect. We
can go up to 90% financing. And
what kind of equipment?
We're looking for hard, durable equipment, no rolling stock. We're talking about, it can be about anything. We've done those laser jet metal fabrication units. We've seen quite a few of those. We've done powder coating units. We've done things at automotive shops. It's a wide range of fixed equipment, heavy fixed equipment. That's what we can do.
Not rolling stock.
No, not rolling stock. If you can drive it down the road, we can't do it. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. And then we'll tell the listeners a little bit about, well, when we say on a 7A loan, that 7A loans are not assumable, they are not. 504 loans are assumable, but there's a consideration there that the borrowers need to know about as far as creditworthy. So it's not that someone just gets to sign the paperwork and they get to assume your loan.
Yep.
Is it a full credit review?
Yeah. It essentially is a full credit review. So we have to go through essentially a full new application if you're going to assume somebody's 504 loan. So that would generally mean that somebody has a borrower with an existing 504 has sold their business to somebody, and they have that borrower who sold it had a note out on the real estate, and the new person's going to assume that loan. So we need to underwrite the business to still make sure that it is doing well and they're not selling a bad business to somebody. And we need to make sure that that borrower is personally creditworthy as well.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Well, in conclusion here, we certainly appreciate the work Will and Jason have done on catching everybody up on the CARES Extension Act. And I would encourage everybody to give NEDCO a look, give the 504 loan program a look. What this program does is it brings Wall Street to Nebraska. It allows you to participate on a very large bond level that you ordinarily would not be able to access on your own. Several hundred or several thousand of these loans are pooled every month and sold on Wall Street to large institutional purchasers. That's how we get the access to the below 2% fixed rate for 25 years. And so the more money that we capture and bring back to Nebraska, the better we are and the better life we're going to have here to make Nebraska the great place it is to live. Thanks for listening in and have a great day. This has been a production of the Nebraska Economic Development Corporation. All rights reserved.